Let us turn now together here to this psalm, the Psalm 34. And the verse that I want to leave with you tonight is the verse 6. The Psalm 34 and the verse 6. These words are the words, of course, of the psalmist David. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Now this whole psalm here before us tonight is indeed a personal testimony of God's dealings with the psalmist. The Lord's mercy and the Lord's goodness to David. And of course he's speaking here personally. He says, I will bless the Lord, and my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. And isn't it good to remind ourselves that God is interested in the individual? He's interested in each one of us individually. I suppose there's multitudes of people tonight, and they feel, well, who's interested in me? Does anybody care about me at all in this world? I'm desolate, no company really, just forgotten about. Nobody is interested in me. But of course, the Lord is interested in each and every human being. He's interested in each and every one of us and cares for men. Longs to see people saved and brought to faith. And praise God, he's able to do that by the power of the Holy Spirit. Doesn't want to see men left in darkness, but wants them brought to the light. Now, the Lord heard him here in the hour of trial. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. And the psalmist was not disappointed. He was not left to himself. He was not left frustrated. But the Lord heard him in the time of need. And dear soul, never forget this, that whatever your need might be tonight, that the Lord will hear you. And he will not forsake those that call upon him. He will not push them back. He will not, as we used to say, we used an old expression one time, well, I've washed my hands of that person, but the Lord will never do that. He seeks to draw men unto himself, and praise God, he is able. But we want to think here, first of all, about the character of the man who prayed. Who was he? Well, he describes himself here in this psalm. And here in the verse, it says that he was poor. He was poor. He wasn't rich. He didn't feel full of himself. He's a man that is in trouble at this particular time. He is, of course, at this stage in history, he's in exile, and he's before a very powerful man by the name of Abimelech. And we know the history, we know the story well, that he seeks to put on a bit of a show. He's trying to make out that he's lost his senses. He's acting like a fool. All that his life might be spared. He has gone down to the lower depths, as it were. And he feels there's no hope for him. So he is poor. And that's his condition. But of course, we know that there is no blessing in Scripture at all for those who think themselves to be full and to be rich and to be high and mighty. How can the Lord bless such an individual? Humbleness must come first. And God deals with each and every one of us in such a manner. We have to be brought down off of the high rung of the ladder, as it were, and brought down to that place of humility. And to be brought down, as it were, that we get to that place where out of our need and out of our poverty, we cry on to him. No, we see this time and time again in Scripture, those that think themselves, as it were, to be something. Look at me, my position, my wealth, and so on, and my standing. But you remember the words of the Apostle Paul there in Galatians chapter 6 and in the verse 3. So he says, for if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Thinks himself to be something when he is nothing. Full of himself. He's depending upon what he has, on his own position and everything else. He's a man that says, I have no need. I have no need of your God. I have no need of this salvation. I have no need of the scriptures. I have no need of the gospel. I'm doing very well, thank you very much. And I have all that I need. I'm quite satisfied. And of course, such a man has to be humbled. He's got to be brought to his knees. Got to be brought to that place where he sees his sinful state and how lost and how ruined he is. But David here in the psalm, he refers to himself as that poor man. And of course, we think of our Savior tonight and his example. Wasn't the Lord, isn't it marvelous when you think of it, brethren? The one co-equal with the Father, the mighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord was meek and lowly, and he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. God manifested in the flesh, and yet for a time he laid aside his glory and laid aside his reputation in order that he would die, that he would suffer and die for sinners upon that cross on Calvary, to purchase for us this great salvation. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And of course, a great invitation goes out from Scripture that if any man thirst, let him come unto me, the Savior said, and drink, and let him be satisfied, and let him be refreshed. So the psalmist is in this position at this particular time. And he says, this poor man cried, and the Lord helped him. The Lord saved him. Now, of course, he's a hopeful man as well. If he weren't a hopeful man, he would not cry. Isn't it true that it's only people that know something of their desperation, know something of their own weakness, and their poverty stricken? These are the people that cry out. The man who feels himself to be full and to have plenty and he's self-sufficient, that man has no need, or so he feels. He has no need whatever for to cry for help. It's only the man who is down, as it were, down at the very bottom rung of the ladder, who feels he can't sink any lower. That's the man who cries out. And it is so, of course, when people are in danger. Take somebody, perhaps, and they're out on the lake and they're out at sea and they get themselves into difficulty. Perhaps the little boat or whatever they're on takes on water, begins to sink, and then fear and panic sets in. Perhaps they're not too far away from the shore. What do? They just don't sit there waiting for to die or to sink. No, they lift up their voices and they cry out for help. They cry out for help in their distress. They want to be saved. They want to be rescued. So this man is hopeful. And praise God, we can say tonight, if you cry for help, only good can come of it. Can we seek the Lord in vain? Is it a vain thing to cry to him? Is it a waste of time? Is it a waste of effort? Will nothing come of it? We know that's not the teaching of Scripture. It's those that lift up their voices. It's those who feel that they have nothing whatever. They have no hope. They're bankrupt. They can lift up their voices and they cry unto God for mercy and they cry unto God for help. Perhaps it's in the hour of death. It's in the hour of fear, when health fails, when everything in this world, as it were, turns against them, and they have nothing left at all, and they feel that their end is coming. Yes, they may have rejected the gospel for many a year, but God in his mercy visits them, and he convicts them, and he shows them their need, and the Spirit of God deals with them, and brings them to that place where they call upon the name of the Lord and they cry out unto God for mercy and for salvation. Now that man has hope. He cannot cry in vain. But God is there, and the Lord is there for to rescue him and for to bless him. Is there somebody in the meeting, perhaps? Is that your condition tonight? Maybe you feel that you have no hope. There's somebody listening in to the meeting, and you feel that there's nothing there left but despair. I have nowhere to turn. There's nothing more I can do. But look at the psalmist. He says, This poor man cried unto the Lord, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. And if that's your condition tonight, if that's the conviction, if that's the place of where you've come, dear soul, tonight you can cry unto him. And when you cry unto him, he has promised for to hear, and he will hear. You think too of the character here of the Lord unto whom he prayed. Yes, he was poor, and perhaps his prayer was poor as well. Not well put together. Disjointed and everything else. Don't we often feel like that ourselves? When we have prayed in our own quiet times, and we feel to ourselves, well, that was a poor prayer. I felt cold at heart. My heart wasn't in it. There was no conviction there. And it may very well be here with the psalmist at this time, in his time of great need, that he felt such. He was poor, and perhaps his prayer wasn't up to much either. But praise God, he did not pray. He did not pray to a poor God. How many times do we read over and over again in Scripture concerning the richness, how rich the Lord is in mercy and how rich he is in wisdom. How rich the Lord is. As we think of God tonight, the Almighty God, he's not poor when it comes to mercy, when it comes to blessing, when it comes to meeting our need, whatever that need might be, it may be a great need, and our wants and everything else. Thank God he is rich. That is, he's well able for to meet your need, and he's well able for to meet my need. He's able to meet it abundantly, and mercy left over, blessings left over as well, full and running over. And so it was here with the psalmist. The richness of the mercy and of the goodness of God. Now, he was delivered here from his fears. He said, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. What an awful thing fear is. When it comes upon an individual, when it takes hold of them, when it seizes them, as it were, blinded by fear, wondering what's going to happen in the next few minutes, what's around the corner, the next few steps, what's it going to bring to me? No hope for the future, nothing to rely upon. But he was delivered from his fears. There's many folk tonight, they may not perhaps want to admit it. They may not want to speak about it even. But how many people tonight fear death, the prospect of death, coming death, and it's going to come, of course, to us all. It's going to come to each and every one of us. It's something that we can't postpone, and it's something we can't put off, death. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. And there's a fear there, a dread. What comes after death? What comes after death? But thank God, this great gospel that we have to preach and proclaim, this good news reminds us all that the Lord is able to deliver from all fears. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears, the fear of death and the fear of judgment, the fear of coming before God, standing before Him. The Lord is able to deliver. Is this, I wonder, your experience tonight? Is this part of your testimony? You look back and you thought about these things. You thought about your latter end and how you were going to finish in this world. And fear perhaps seized upon you. You heard the gospel, the good news of the gospel. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And you put your trust in Him. And thank God tonight that fear has been dispelled. That fear has been lifted. And now you rejoice tonight. And you're delighting yourself in the Lord. And you're ready for to meet God. Isn't that the most wonderful thing in the whole world? Isn't that the most precious thing? To have this salvation. And to be ready whenever our time comes and when we must be ushered in to the presence of God, the God of all the earth, the Almighty God, the God who is to be feared, and to be ready. He was delivered from all his fears. He tells us something else here as well in the psalm, in the verse 5. He speaks here about the shame of his sin. In verse 5, they looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Their faces were not ashamed. Yes, delivered from the shame of sin, the judgment of sin. And doesn't sin bring shame? Sin will bring shame upon us. Sin will bring awful regret. It'll bring us down. So much so that it can be seen even in our faces. But when a man looks unto the Lord, and when he trusts in Him, you see they were lightened. They were lightened. The psalmist was lightened. There was a change even in his countenance. There was a change even in his face. How many times have we heard it over the years? Somebody has got converted, and you have remarked this. The man's countenance is even changed. His face has been changed. There's a lightness there. There seems to be a joy about him. There's a relief. There's a gladness. Their faces were lightened. Oh, praise God. He's no longer worried about the past, nor he's not worried about the future either. Because the Lord has dealt with him in mercy, and God has come to him. His sins now are buried, and he's able to supply our every need in the verse 9. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Whatever our need might be, not speaking here about our greed or an abundance of things, but he's able for to meet our need. So that we lack nothing that is necessary. Fear the Lord, ye his saints. There is no want to them that fear him. He's able to satisfy the longing heart. He's able to satisfy our souls. Yes, as regards to the material things, we may not have much, but it doesn't matter. The Apostle Paul reminds us, having food and raiment, let us be there with content. And look at all the discontentment that there is today, and all the complaining, and all the grumbling and everything else. We haven't got this or the other. But God is able to supply all that we need. He's able to feed us. He's able to nourish us. He's able to keep us going and to sustain us from day to day. And of course, the apostle reminds us also, it is certain we brought nothing into this world. We brought nothing in, and 'tis certain we're not going to take anything out. Take nothing out. But if we have God, if we have his salvation, if we have his mercy and his good hand upon us from day to day, we have all that we need. He's able to supply our every need. Whatever we have to meet in this life and in this world, and we're not guaranteed anywhere in the Scripture that we're going to have an easy passage. There'll be temptations, and there'll be trials. There's the old enemy, the attacks of the enemy. There's principalities and powers that is set against us continually at work, and we have to face them, the powers of darkness. But the Lord is able to undertake for us. He's able to keep us also in times of danger. Here, as we read in the verse 20, He keepeth all his bones. Not one of them is broken. The Scripture speaks, of course, about wars and rumors of wars. Times of tribulation that even many are going through now in the world. And all that lies ahead as well. Unstable times that we're living in. But this world has always been unstable. And there's always been dangers. But you know, the one who has put their trust in the Lord for salvation, and the one who is resting in Him, and who knows Him, we don't have to fear, we don't have to worry. We don't have to go around demented every day, thinking to ourselves, I wonder what danger, what war, now what's going to overtake us? What's around the corner? Because whatever we have to pass through, we know that God is able for to keep us in such times. He keepeth all his bones. Not one of them is broken. And praise God, it reminds us, doesn't it, that the Lord, He is God. He is God over all this world. He is the ruler of the heavens and the earth. And nothing can touch us, nothing can come to pass unless the Lord permits it. We're reminded of that in Daniel, aren't we? There in the chapters 4 and 5, we're reminded of it indeed right throughout Scripture that the Most High ruleth in the kingdoms of men. It's God who rules in the kingdoms of men. And He gives it to whomsoever He will. He's the sovereign God. Not even a sparrow can fall to the ground without the Lord. Not even a little sparrow that we see in our gardens feeding at the bird table every day. But not one of them will fall unless He first permits it. Oh, the character of the Lord unto whom He prayed. Let us not forget this. Yes, we feel poor. We feel weak. We feel our prayers are weak at times. But let us not lose sight of this, that the one to whom we pray is one who is rich in mercy. He is one who is all-powerful and all-glorious. And He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Will He desert His people? Note what He says here in the verse 22 of this psalm. He says here in the verse 22, The Lord redeemeth the soul of His servants, and none of them that trust in Him shall be desolate. It's an awful thing to be desolate, isn't it? It must be an awful thing to be left desolate. It must be terrible to be deserted, to be forsaken, and to be just left alone, as it were. Such people feel they have no hope. They have nothing. Either they're filled with fear and anxiety and everything else. And isn't that the state of so many people tonight in this world of darkness in which we live? But the Lord will not desert one of His people, not the weakest saint. We might get the notion sometimes that it's only the strong ones, it's only the strong individuals in the kingdom of God. It's only, as it were, the giants that the Lord is interested in. And there I am, I feel poor and bankrupt. I'm seeking to go on, I'm struggling and everything else. But the Lord will not desert one of His people. not even one of the weakest sins, that are looking to him for salvation and for mercy. And as we mentioned this morning, there we have it in Romans chapter 8, who shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus? That applies to all the people of God, not only the strong in the Lord and the mighty, but those that feel just, as it were, they're just barely moving along. They're just making a little bit of ground, but the Lord will not forsake them. Why? Well, we're being bought and purchased with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a price. What a cost. When we think of Calvary, when we think of what the Lord passed through, his judgment, crowned with thorns, mocked, reviled, spat upon, nailed to a tree, there ridiculed by the crowd, by the people, as they passed by. The Lord passed through all of that. He went through all of that great trial. We're blood bought. Every Christian is blood bought. And the Lord will not desert one of his people. No, they belong to him. And the Lord will see them through to glory. Yes, he may have to put his hand upon us from time to time. We may have to be disciplined. But there is no child without discipline, is there? Without correction. But oh, God will lead us on. But you see as well, you see here how all this comes about. He refers to himself here in the psalm as a poor man. He feels himself down in the gutter, as it were. But now he looks up. He looks to the Lord. And he's not disappointed. Dear soul, tonight, let me repeat it again. You'll not be disappointed when you look to him. You'll not be forsaken. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you come to him as a poor sinner, with nothing at all to claim. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. It's not your good works. It's not your money. It is nothing of the sort. No, you come to him just as you are. See how it comes about then. Was it perhaps some great ceremony or some ritual that he had to pass through? And how people, we are all the same by nature. How we love the ritual, the religious ritual, and the ceremony and everything else. And to go through certain phases, and to put on a show, a religious show. We love the pomp and the ceremony. But that has nothing to do with it here. How it all came about, it came about just through a cry. He cried. He cried on to the Lord. Dear soul, tonight you have but to cry unto him as one that feels your need and your desperation. The Lord is near. He's a God who is near and not afar off. He is near. He is near. Ritual can't save a man. Neither can ceremonies and all of that. No, it's by looking to him and casting your all upon him. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things. Isn't it wonderful what we can receive, and what we can have, and what we can get just from a cry, just from looking up to him? Yes, he cried unto the Lord, and he was not disappointed. He was not forsaken of the Lord. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. This is salvation. This is redemption. This is how a man is reconciled unto God. He cries unto him in his doubt, in his fears, trepidation of the future and judgment to come. He cries unto the Lord. And the Lord heard him. Isn't it wonderful? Man, dust and ashes, yes, made in the image of God, but fallen. How poor we are. How needy. But yet, the Lord looks upon such and is able to save and is able to deliver. A poor man, dear soul, tonight, if you take the place of the poor man, not of the mighty, not of the one who's full of himself and feels he has everything and is all sufficient and doesn't need God. As I say, he doesn't need this gospel. He doesn't need the word. He doesn't need mercy. I'm all right. I have everything I need. No, it's the poor man. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Dear soul, tonight, do not delay, but look to him and come to him, and the Lord will meet your need and will bless you. And you will not have to say at the end of it all, you know, I cried, but he never heard me. I called, but nothing happened. I'm back to square one again. No, that will not be your experience, and that will not be your testimony. But it will be the testimony of the Word of God. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. Isn't it wonderful? The God of heaven will hear. He'll hear the individual, no matter how poor and desperate and sinful and vile they are. He will hear, and he's able to deliver and save and make them new creatures and take away their sins. This can be yours tonight. Oh, look to him. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let us sing tonight in closing 437. The hymn 437. Where he may lead me, I will go, for I have learned to trust him so, and I remember 'twas for me that he was slain on Calvary. 437. We'll stand together now as we sing.
Thank you.
Lord, our Father, we thank thee tonight for Calvary, for the one who was crucified, put to death, crowned with thorns. Oh God, we praise thee. It was for me. It was for sinners. He hung and suffered there to pay the debt to set them free for the poor and the needy, the nobodies. Oh God, we praise thee and thank thee. Lord, be pleased to bless your word. Oh Father, this night, even at this very moment, if there be one in the meeting who is not saved, may they look away from themselves, look away from all around them, look to Christ, who alone is able. For there is life for a look at the crucified one. Bless thy word to us. Part us with your blessing. Keep us, Lord, this incoming week. We ask of thee. Lord, may we, who are converted, may we grow in faith and in the knowledge of the truth this week. May we go on with the Lord. Oh, granted, we pray. Uphold us, Lord, by thy Spirit and by thy grace. And grant to everyone a safe journey to their homes. In Jesus' name, amen.